We can look at the mirror and God's word in one of two ways. You can glance at it or gaze into it. You can glance at it or gaze into it. I had to find something where two words did start with the same letter. A glance at the mirror involves walking past the mirror, briefly pausing to look into it and thinking, hey, I don't need to do anything else. Everything's fine. You know, I think you'd be too young for that, but there used to be a program on, and Fonts was the, real cool guy. Fonts, wasn't it? Something like that? I can't. The Ponce, yeah. He used to walk past and, oh yeah, I'm switched on, and move on. No careful example, no careful examination, just a glance required. That's not the way you look into God's word. You don't just glance at the word of God in a rushed, hurried manner and then leave. A glance at God's word won't change your life. A casual reading of the Bible will never reveal our deepest needs. It's the difference between, say, a candid photograph and an X-ray. You know, when I was, I'm going to make a confession now, and I see I've got my first cousin sitting here too, so I better be careful. When I was in my teenage years, I made quick glances at God's word. You know, regularly I was out with my mates, or if I had a chance with a girl. Arrive home late at night, tired, hopefully Dad hadn't got up. And I was ready to jump into bed and go to sleep. However, my conscience would quietly say to me, hey, Howard, you haven't read your Bible today. Okay, Lord, all right, then let me find the shortest psalm and I shall read it. Okay. Oh, yes, Psalm 117, that'll do. It's only two verses. Good night. Even then, only two verses. I didn't remember what I'd read. No, you see, like James is saying here, a glance in God's word is like looking into a mirror, walking away, and forgetting what you look like. In this case, what I had read. So I soon learnt that the casual reading of God's word, a glance, would never give me the spiritual nourishment that I needed. What about a gaze? You know, a gaze in the mirror involves standing in front of the mirror, and I'm sure the young ladies can tell me more about this than me, and very carefully examining your appearance. Will anyone notice the pimple that's come up on my chin? What about my makeup? Do I have too much lipstick? Eyeliner? Rouge? Do I have too much on? Do I have any grey hairs appearing yet? This doesn't apply to me. Well, am I going bald? Or this morning even, when I got up and I looked in the mirror, how swollen is my face? Are they going to notice it tonight? Will anyone notice all the gaps in my teeth? Careful examination. A person who gazes is one who spends time examining themselves in a diligent and thorough manner. And this is what James is saying to us in the verses we read. He gives us really the blueprint of how to study God's word in a way that God blesses. He says, when you come to read God's word, we are to look intently into it. We're to take it seriously. We are to continue in it and not to forget it. That, says James, is the life that God blesses. And it all starts with spending quality time in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3 verse 16, let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Writing to Timothy, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, study the scriptures, for they're useful for teaching us what is true, for correcting our mistakes, and for making our lives whole again, for training us to do what is right. And Jamie mentioned that before. So let me ask this question, because this is a personal question that I throw out to you. In regards to God's word, do you glance or do you gaze? Do you glance or do you gaze? Now, if we want to put the mirror of God's word to work in our lives, there are three important steps to take. So let me be practical here. Number one, the first step is examination. Say examination. As I've already emphasized, if we are to use God's mirror profitably, then we must gaze into it carefully and with serious intent. And that's James 1, verse 25. No quick glances will do. They don't help us much. 5 minutes in God's words each day will never accomplish a deep spiritual examination. So let me remind you again, what James says are the mistakes that people make as they look into God's mirror. They merely glance at the word, they forget what they see, and they fail to obey what the word tells them to do. Incidentally, the word for self-examination is recognize, which speaks of inner discernment, self-awareness. And this only comes about when we examine our hearts and lives in the light of God's word. This requires time, attention, and devotion. Then if we sincerely, with our whole hearts, ask Almighty God to make us understand the depths of our beings, he is faithful to do it. It is then our responsibility to be prepared to repent fully of what God makes plain to us. Now, this is an easy process to describe, but often hard to follow through on. Nevertheless, self-examination is part of a continuing process in the life of any Christian who wishes to draw near to God. It is our responsibility. We are required to exert effort, sometimes a great deal of effort, even painful effort, to assure that our lifestyle is in obedience to Jesus Christ. Listen to what Isaiah and Peter said when they searched their hearts. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah cried, "Woe is me, for I am a sinful man." Peter and Luke cried out, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, I think it is, the writer urges his people to examine themselves, to recognize their sin, and to turn to God in seeking his forgiveness. Paul in 2 Corinthians says, "Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Is your faith really genuine? Test yourselves," Paul says. We are voluntarily to examine ourselves, to search our own hearts. We are to examine our lives to see if, in Paul's words, we are in the faith. You see, the Word of God judges our thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word of God will convict each one of us and every one of us because it is the living and true Word. It's active. We're told that in Hebrews. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces right down into the inner being. So if you're convicted of all your wrong doing, do repent and thank God that his word has convicted you. You know, I often hear from young people, "Howard, I don't know, I think I've gone over the line. I've done so much wrong and I don't believe that God has forgiven me. In fact, I think he's taken his Holy Spirit away from me. His grace is no longer sufficient for me." The Bible tells us when we've done wrong to come back in a genuine and sincere repentance of heart, fall at the foot of the cross again, and God in his wonderful grace and mercy forgives each one of us. Aren't you glad you've got a loving heavenly Father like that? Amazing grace. It never ceases to amaze me how God could love me. I often feel that I can claim with the Apostle Paul that I'm the chiefest of all sinners. But God loves me. And Jesus died for me. How can you beat that? Dear friends, the young people, the examination of your hearts is so very, very important. It's important for that inner confirmation by the Holy Spirit that you are, in fact, a child of God. The first step is examination. The second step is cleansing. Say cleansing. Volume's going down. Are we going too long, are we? Or have I gone over time or something? Am I fine okay? I hope I haven't put anyone to sleep yet. I feel sorry for you people in the front row because if I start spitting blood, you're going to get all the... That's a throwaway line. Don't think about it. But I'll even pay for your laundry. The second step is cleansing. In Psalm 119, verse 9, David raises this question. How can a young person stay pure? The answer is this. By obeying your word and following its rules. You see, the mirror of God's word not only examines us and reveals our sins, but it helps to cleanse us as well. As we meditate on it, it cleanses the heart and the mind from spiritual defilement. The word cleansing is a familiar word. even in daily life, and I'm sure you've all come up against it, even though some of you might have gone to Freiburg High School. But these things aren't in my notes, sorry, but just, I was thinking of Jerome back there. It simply means to make clean or pure. Simply means to make clean or pure. The Word of God is our only foundation for purification. Through His Word, God purifies our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, and our motives. He washes away that which is sinful, unclean, and degraded. So what should we do when God's Word shows us what is wrong in our lives? What is wrong there that needs cleansing, adjusting, or setting in order? I would suggest that there are three actions we need to take. First, since it's God's revelation, we are not to argue with it. We must say, that's right, that is what I really am like. Second, we must believe in God's promises of cleansing. And of course you all know that well-known verse of 1 John 1 verse 9 that if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. Not some wrong, every wrong. Third, I suggest that we must hide God's Word in our hearts. You know, that was one thing that I really valued from my upbringing, was I was encouraged to learn Scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, hide God's Word in your heart so that you may not sin against Him. Hide the Word in your heart. Through memory, as it is the key, I believe, to overcoming temptation and sin. The first step is examination, the second step is cleansing, and the third step is, listen, wait for it. Nathan's doing a great job there. Transformation. After the Lord cleanses us and restores us, He wants to change us so that we will grow in grace and not commit that same sin again. Too many Christians confess their sins and claim forgiveness, but never grow spiritually to conquer self and sin. There are many Christians that mark their Bibles, but the Bible doesn't mark them. If we're willing to take those two simple steps of examination and cleansing, a wonderful change will come about in us. We will begin to experience the truth expressed in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. What we will begin to see in the mirror is the new person that we truly are in Christ. Now, the word transformation means a marked change. Biblical transformation means change or renewal from a life that no longer conforms to the ways of the world to one that pleases God. And we have that in Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed from it by the renewing of your mind. This is accomplished, as I say, by the renewing of our minds. An inward spiritual transformation that will manifest itself in outward actions. 2 Corinthians 3:18 describes an ongoing transformation that is taking place in our lives. It says, and all of us have had that veil removed, not teeth, veil, so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. All the time, you see, that we are looking into the mirror of God's Word is in an attitude of openness to the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit is transforming us into the likeness of what we're looking at. We see Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, we become like Jesus in that particular respect. The more we gaze into the mirror of God's Word, the more we behold the glory of the Lord revealed in the mirror. The more we behold the glory of Jesus, the more we are transformed into it by the Holy Spirit. However, we must bear in mind one important fact. It is only while we are looking into the mirror of God's Word that the Holy Spirit transforms us. Okay? When we take our eyes away from the mirror of God's Word, when we turn to human wisdom, human theories, or perhaps even human theology, the Holy Spirit can no longer work in us. The Holy Spirit operates when we look at the Word of God in faith. He operates in us as we allow the Word of God to reveal to us what God wants us to be and what we can become in Christ. When we do this, we're continually transformed from glory to glory. The Spirit of God moves and works upon our own hearts and in our lives, making us into the likeness of what we have seen in the mirror of the Word. So, as we can see, don't worry, I'm nearly finished. So as we can see, God's Word is like a mirror. As we read and meditate on the Word of God, it reflects to us as a mirror. Are we who we really are? Are we? We will see our real self, that is the person in the mirror, when the Word of God convicts who we really are. So can I ask again, when you read God's Word, do you glance or do you gaze? Do you search the Scriptures to see Jesus and get to know Him as Daniel challenged us all to do a fortnight ago? Or are you taking the Word of God only lightly into your lives? Do you obey what God's Word says so that you may live your life as a true follower of Jesus? Are you allowing God's Word to transform your life so that Jesus may be seen in you? In the tale of Snow White, and I hope I've got this right, it's a long time since I read the tale of Snow White. It might even be Cinderella for I know, but okay. But in the tale of Snow White, words spoken were, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? Remember? Did I get it right or not? I did. Great, good one. And let me change the words for a personal challenge for each of you. And it's coming up on the slide. Mirror, mirror on the wall, is Christ seen in me at all? That's pretty challenging. Every time we go to the mirror, and I don't go to the mirror much, as I said, I did today to see if my face was swollen and decided I was still as handsome as ever. But then I was doing it straight after a conversation with Tarsa, so I was comparing the two. But I thought about this and I thought on it. Mirror, mirror on the wall, do you see Christ in me at all? You know, that sobers me a bit because I've got an excuse tonight that I'm not going to be grinning and jumping up and down and waving arms and all sorts of things because of surgery yesterday. But people look at us. What do they see? Do they see somebody who's just been a glancer rather than I don't know if it's such a word as a glancer, but somebody that glances rather than gazes and allows the word of God to change and transform them? After all, we're meant to be light, aren't we? We're meant to be living epistles read and known of all men. We're meant to radiate the love and compassion of Jesus to others. People need to look at us and say, hey, I want to know what you've got, you know. I know you're not on P, but what else have you got going? I won't say the whole word, I can't. I get tongue-tied on that method, whatever it is. Being a scientist, I can say methyl alcohol, but I can't say the other one. But what do they see? We need to encourage each other and challenge each other that we're here to represent our Lord Jesus. And man, that is a huge challenge, isn't it? A huge challenge. So do you want to look? Do you want to look into God's Word? Is there something inside of you saying right now, that's what I want to happen to me? I want a different image of myself. I do want to take the Word of God seriously into my life. If that's so, would you like to ask the Lord right now to help you make a change in your approach? It may be that you need to talk with somebody else here, somebody that you know. Don't hesitate to do that. You know, as I look back in my teenage years, I do regret. There were years that I called the locust eight. I can't reclaim those years. God's forgiven me for them. I don't want you to make the same mistake. My heart is burdened for young people today that they're not reading the Word of God. They're not taking it in. They're not obeying what it says. They're not walking in the way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will make it our heart's desire to examine your word. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will examine us too. Thank you that your word does convict. And I just pray that we'll have the courage and the boldness and the desire to be open to what you tell us and be prepared to make the changes that you're asking us to make. Lord, we want to bring glory and honor to your name. We sing it. We want to act it out in our lives. Help us to be obedient children. Thank you again for your word that it is the living truth. Thank you that we have possession of it. And thank you, Lord, that for the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to live lives that do please you. We give you the glory and the praise, and thank you in the wonderful and precious and almighty name of Jesus, our soon coming King and Lord. Amen.